Amen. Who knows that the Lord is their shepherd? We're starting a new series this morning, as I promised, on the much-loved and best-known Psalm 23. I'm sure many of you can recite that word for word without even looking at your Bible. It's meant so much to me throughout the years and throughout the different seasons. And we're going to start a series, and it's going to take place over the next few months. We've always got Christmas in between, so we're going to be doing Christmas stuff. But it's going to be a really important season for us, going through this psalm and what it means to look at him as our shepherd. You know, in Matthew 11:28, it says, Jesus says, all who are weary, who are heavy laden, all who carry heavy burdens, come to me, for I will give them rest. That's what Jesus says. Anyone exhausted, anyone carrying some burdens, Jesus says, come to him and he will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. But we've got to ask this question, how does God lighten our loads? How does he carry our burdens for us? And this is what part of what this Psalm 23 says to us. Let's read it together, or recite it if you know it. But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's it. The sermon finished. Just go home and read that every day, every morning, every night. It's amazing, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. So today I just want to take the Lord is my shepherd. We're going to take it phrase by phrase. But these words are framed and they're hung in houses all over the world, in every continent across the globe. They are engraved on prison walls by the people who have been put in prison and have come to know Jesus as their shepherd. They are hung in hospital rooms. Those who work in hospitals, I'm sure you've seen them there in the past. Maybe we're not allowed to do that anymore, I don't know. But I'm sure in the past they've been in hospital rooms. They've been said proudly by the young. They've been whispered by the frail and the dying. These are incredibly powerful words. They have been a father to those who are looking for a father. They have been a friend to those who are struggling. These are incredible words said by David the shepherd. And do we have ears this morning to hear what the Lord is going to say? Just as I read that just then, I mean, I'm still a little bit overwhelmed, because I can feel goodness and mercy filling me again. You know, where would I be without the goodness and mercy of God? How can I stand without the mercy of God? Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Do we have ears this morning to hear? And I want to focus just on the Lord is my shepherd. Just say that, the Lord is my shepherd. Let that just resound in your inner being, the Lord is my shepherd. Because do we know what we're saying when we say the Lord is my shepherd? Consider for a moment the best manager or leader that you've ever had. Can you picture somebody? Someone who you've sat under someone's leadership. Maybe you're looking at him right now. No, I'm joking. But maybe you can think of somebody other than me. Or maybe you've had a really bad leader or manager that you've had to sit under. I've had a couple of those. And can you think about what made them a really bad manager or leader? And I'm sure you might have seen on social media that image of them in a rowing boat. Have you seen this one? Where the bad manager's just with a megaphone shouting, sitting in the boat, taking up space, weighing it down, shouting, go that way, row faster, but doing nothing to contribute. And obviously the good leader in the boat is rowing. Yeah, he's still speaking and giving direction and guiding, but he's rowing, he's contributing to the journey. You see, we can have bad managers and we can have good managers, good leaders and bad managers, leaders in our life. But when we say the Lord is my shepherd, you are effectively saying Lord, you're my owner. You're my leader. You're my protector. You are my guide. That is the relevance to that example. The Lord is my shepherd. You are my leader. I give ownership over to you. And when you proudly declare the Lord is my shepherd, obviously you're saying, I am your sheep. So you can't say the Lord is my shepherd without being one of his sheep. Yeah, we can't have it both ways. We can't say the Lord is my shepherd and then continue on with our life how we were going before, running off like sheep do, getting stuck in some thorny situations like sheep do. When we say the Lord is my shepherd, you proudly declare, I am your sheep. And you know the word sheep, I don't know about you, but the word sheep has negative connotations in society. Have you had it? It's like a cuss, oh, you're such a sheep. Have you heard that? Someone says to you, you're such a sheep, you just follow what everyone else does. Why don't you think for yourself for once? Anyone? I've been on the receiving end of that. Even as believers, people in a derogatory sense say, you're such a sheep, you're blindly following the Lord. What? You're just blindly following Jesus. You're such a sheep. But in the reality, proudly declaring that you are a sheep and that you have a shepherd is the most amazing truth that is known to mankind. This is one of the most important truths that as a believer you need to get your head around, is that you, as you say, you are my shepherd, you're realizing that you are his sheep. And that's liberating, and that's freeing, and that's releasing, to proudly declare that we come under the shepherd care of the Almighty. Hallelujah. But if you're like me, and I've talked to you about this before, I'm an evidence kind of guy. And when I came to know Jesus, I didn't just, you know, make a response. I thought about it. And I wanted to search for answers. And I searched for the answers and I found the answers. I'm convinced about Jesus and his resurrection and all he did for us. So if you're like me, you want to say, you want to investigate that phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is this Lord? Has he got the credentials to be my shepherd? I like to ask those questions. Is he good enough to be my shepherd? Has he got the credentials? Has he got the ability to be my shepherd? And that's what I wanted to unpack for us today. The Lord, who is the Lord? What are his credentials to be my owner? And these are searching questions. I'll give an appetizer right now in the time that we have. But go home if you want and read through the Gospels. Read the Gospel of Luke or, you know, the Gospel of Mark. And see for yourself if Jesus is what he says he is, as the good shepherd. He declares he is the good shepherd. And read it for yourself. Discover for yourself as to whether you want to become a sheep of this shepherd. So David, the author of Psalm 23, of course, he was a shepherd himself. We know that. David was an incredible shepherd himself. He was a shepherd boy who fought off wolves and lions and bears to protect his sheep. He then obviously famously became shepherd king. David was referred to as shepherd king. So he was a shepherd. And in this bold statement that he made, the Lord is my shepherd, he made this statement hundreds of years before Jesus came and declared himself and corroborated that evidence saying, I am the good shepherd. So he declared it hundreds of years before Jesus came and said, I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. So David, the shepherd, knew what it was to worship a shepherd or to be a sheep of a shepherd. There's nobody better qualified to know that the Lord was his shepherd than David, because he was a shepherd himself. Nobody better. And you see, when we meditate on the person of Christ, as I said, go through the Gospels, meditate on who Christ is, what he did, what he was like, how he stood up for the marginalized, how he didn't condemn people, how he loved people, how he brought people back to life. Meditate on that. And the bigger our expectation of Jesus, the bigger our view of Jesus, the more majestic our view of Jesus, the greater the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. The bigger our view of Jesus, the greater our relationship with the shepherd. There's a direct correlation between how big we see God is, how big we see Christ is, how great we see him as to how our relationship with the sheep and the shepherd will be. And David spoke with utter admiration as an amazing shepherd himself when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, my owner, my leader, my everything. That is what he said. And you see, David knew firsthand what it meant to be a shepherd. And he would have seen, in his day, he would have seen good shepherds, like the example, and bad shepherds, right? He would have seen, and he would have known that the portion for a sheep, or the lot that a sheep had in life, was directly related to the type of shepherd they sat under. You see, sheep can't do anything for themselves, really. Out of all the livestock, they need the most attention and the most care and the most direction. Like, cows are a bit better, not much better, marginally. Horses, but sheep need so much care and attention. And so David knew that the sheep's lot was directly related to how good the shepherd is. And he saw harsh shepherds and cruel shepherds in his day. And he would have seen good shepherds like himself, who looked after their sheep, who were brave and selfless and nurturing. And the reality is, only one of those two groups could be called shepherds, and that's the ones that nurture their sheep. So David recognized what a shepherd was. He knew what it looked like. And so when we call upon the Lord as our shepherd, we need to be convinced of his character and convinced of his ability to be our shepherd. And this is why I think in part Psalm 23 was written. I believe it was written to build our trust in God. I believe in part it was built to build up our trust in God, the Good Shepherd, to remind us of who he is, to remind us of his goodness and his faithfulness and his mercy that follows us every day. And even though we go in the valley of the shadow of death, and even though we're in the face of our enemies, he prepares a table for us. This psalm was written to build our trust in God and his goodness and his faithfulness. And one of the chief lessons I get out of Psalm 23 is the consistency of God, the sameness of God, the constancy of God. That's a theme that runs through that psalm. And we're in a world where everything changes. The weather changes. I was at football yesterday watching Ruben play. He scored a hat-trick and set up two goals. They won 7-3, man of the match. Woo! Just like his dad. He's got a lovely left foot, so we're praying for him that he makes me rich in the future. No, not really. So I was at football and it was pouring with rain. And instantly, sunshine came. The weather can change. Societal fads can change. Anyone? Come on. Societal fads change like the wind as well. Job changes. We go through job changes. Relationship change, unfortunately, don't they? Well, sometimes they change in a good way. Sometimes they change in a bad way, unfortunately. You know, everything changes. But Psalm 23 says, God doesn't change. The God who ruled the world last night rules the world right now and will rule the world tomorrow. So don't worry. Sermon's finished. Jesus is the good shepherd and he never changes. So that's what I take from it, the constancy of God. When everything else is changing, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, counselors, and they're fantastic people, counselors can help you in the middle of the storm. And that's good if you need that. But Jesus can calm the storm that you're in. You see, friends can hold our hands on our deathbed. And again, that's really important. But Jesus overcame death. Philosophers can debate the meaning of life. But Jesus declares the meaning of life. The good shepherd. We all need Yahweh in our life. In this time, always, but especially now, everything's changing. Everything's uncertain. We need constancy and consistency in our life. I do anyway. I'm speak for myself. And I was reading of this real life shepherd. Yeah, they do exist. They still exist, real life shepherds. I didn't know that really. I was a bit naive to that. But I was reading about a real life shepherd. And he was saying to remind himself of the reason that he should say, the Lord is my shepherd. He goes out every night under the stars. And where he is, obviously, I suppose it's a spotless sky, apart from the stars. And he sees 250 million stars times 250 million stars in the sky. And then he realizes that he's on earth for a tiny amount of time. And this earth is a speck compared to each and every one of those 250 by 250 million stars. And it removes every bit of ego from him. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. You see, we need to get whatever it takes. Maybe it's nature. Maybe it's something else, but whatever it takes for us to realize the greatness of God. When we understand and discover the greatness of God, our sheep and shepherd relationship will be much better. If we're flippant about Jesus, and we can all become flippant about Jesus and what he's done. Right. Or maybe just me. But sometimes we can forget the magnitude of what he did. But we need to get out there, and because the greatness that we see, the level of greatness we see Christ as, is directly correlated to our sheep and our shepherd relationship. Because this God that is so majestic and so powerful bows down to us, or bends down to us, doesn't bow down, bends down and says, will you be my sheep? I want to be your shepherd. Will you be my sheep? The one that put 250 million stars times 250 million stars in the sky that are bigger than this planet Earth, where we're a little speck on, says, will you be my sheep? I want to be your shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And I want you to be my object of special affection and special attention. You're the apple of my eye. Will you be my sheep this morning? So I've come to the conclusion for myself, who better to throw myself under the care of than the creator of the world? Who better to protect me than the creator of the world? Who better to look after me than the creator of the world? It's the same God who brought this gigantic galaxy in place. Alistair probably knows better than me. He brings the most minute microbe into place as well. The smallest matter on earth. So the biggest and the smallest. And he makes everything function flawlessly. And it's not all of accident. It was not all a surprise. It was all God ordained and God created. That is the person I want to call my shepherd. If anyone has rights to ownership of me, the Lord, he is my shepherd. So the first reason I believe we call him the shepherd is that he's a flawless and wonderful creator. And he creates us on purpose, deliberately, intentionally, to be the object of his affection and his attention. But the reality is that most people reject that. Most of us probably accept that. But most people reject that truth, that he's our creator and that he created us on purpose for a purpose. But you see, the good shepherd had a second plan, didn't he? The good shepherd said, okay, if you're not going to accept me as your shepherd because I created you on purpose for a purpose, I'm going to die for you to win you back so that you will come under my care and protection. I'm going to take everything upon your shoulders. Those who carry heavy burdens, come to me and I will give them rest. I will take your burdens. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life for the sheep. So if number one doesn't get you, that gets me. I'm done. Number one, he's the creator of this amazing galaxy and this earth, and that's enough for me. But if that doesn't get you, number two, he died for you when you didn't deserve it. That's another reason we can say the Lord is my shepherd. He's qualified to be our shepherd. And you know, in Isaiah 53, it's just an amazing passage. You know it, the suffering servant passage in Isaiah, foretelling Jesus coming, living and dying, suffering for us. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep. That's deliberate. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us have gone our own way. And the Lord laid the iniquity on him, laid on him the iniquity of us all. He came again. He created and then he came again in the form of Jesus to die so that we would come under his care and guidance and protection. What a God we serve. What a good shepherd. The Lord, he is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Then maybe we'll be convinced by this second fact that somebody would pay an incredible price for us, the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is speaking the truth when he says, I am the good shepherd. He says that himself and he's speaking the truth because he proved it when he died and laid down his life for the sheep. And he continues to lay down his life for us. He continues to pour himself out for us. He knows that sheep can't take care of themselves. We've just mentioned that. Sheep, we can't do this. We are like sheep and we go astray. We can't do it on our own. And he knows that, which is why he calls us sheep and calls himself the shepherd. There's no accident in the fact that God says, I am the shepherd and you are the sheep. He could have said, you are the cattle, or you are the goats, like Lionel Messi, or someone. Sorry, that's a joke that's lost on most. Sheridan probably got it, one or two others. But listen, we could have been called goats, we could have been called anything. We are the sheep, and he is the shepherd. And you know what? This modern day shepherd that I was reading about, he said sheep and humans are very similar. I got offended by that, personally. Don't know about you. But he said we have the same fears and timidity as sheep. He says that we have the same stubbornness and stupidity as sheep. No, not really. We have the same habits as sheep. We wander off. We get ourselves in trouble. And all of these are the same markers of humans and sheep. And he says, come under my care and my direction, for I am your shepherd. And so you've got two reasons to call him your shepherd. If that's not enough, I'll give you a third one, shall I? The third reason why I believe we can say the Lord is my shepherd is because he calls you by name. So he created you. We rejected him, every one of us, by going our own way. He died for us, and now he calls us by name. Hallelujah. The creator of everything who died for us now calls us by name and calls us into an incredible future. So that's another reason why we can say the Lord, he is my shepherd. I've lost my notes. I always do this. So he created us. He died for us. He called us by name. And the story goes on about this modern day shepherd. And this modern day shepherd was talking about sheep in his area. You know, what do you call it? A sheep ranch, I suppose. I don't know. Sheep range. I don't know. But he is talking about this tenant sheep man that he knew. It's not a real shepherd. You see, he didn't call him a shepherd because he's not really a shepherd. He was a tenant sheepman. So he just had a job looking after sheep, but he wasn't a shepherd. Important distinction. But he said he saw this other guy's sheep, and they were thin, and they were weak, and they were riddled with parasites. And then he saw his own sheep, who were well looked after, well groomed, eating lush green grass. And these weak and thin sheep used to come over to the fence that was, you know, adjoining the pen, or whatever you call it, the field, whatever it is. And they would poke their heads in like this. And he could almost hear those sheep saying, oh, to be free of this awful owner. Oh, to be free of this awful owner. And that picture stayed with this shepherd for his whole life. Because he said that's what people the world over are experiencing. They've not come under the shepherd care of Jesus. And they're under the rule of Satan. So they're riddled, they're weak and they're thin, and they're riddled with all sorts of stuff because they're under the reign of Satan. And we can see them they should be looking at us and the lushness that we get, the joy that we have, the peace that we have, and say, all to be free of this awful owner. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. There are people throughout the world who reject Christ, and that's, you know, that's going to be the same until Jesus comes again. Because they feel like they are coming under the rule of a tyrant, aren't they? That's what people say to me. Jesus is a rule maker. He's going to ruin my fun. I don't want to be a sheep and just follow. But if we look at the Gospels in an unbiased way, we're going to see that Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is so far away from being a tyrant. The complete opposite of being a tyrant. Jesus had no special education. Jesus had no military power. He had no political power. Jesus had no special advantages. He was born in a stable in awful circumstances. But Jesus had a greater mark on life than anyone ever has. He was born in terrible circumstances. He's the most balanced being that's ever set foot in the world of man. And he's had a greater impact on humanity than anyone throughout all the centuries. Jesus is the reason that hundreds of millions of people across 20 centuries have said, the Lord is my shepherd. He was gentle and kind, but he was just and true at the same time. He came to set us free from our sins. He came to set us free from ourselves. He came to set us free from our fears. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is the one who calls himself the Good Shepherd. This is the one that created us, died for us, and calls us. And he's looking to save and restore men and women today. You know, the best thing about calling the Lord your shepherd is that he makes it abundantly clear when you come under his care, you get a unique, special relationship. When you come under his ownership and his leadership, you're privy to a special and unique relationship that you can't get elsewhere. You know, when the shepherd that I was reading about, he said with his sheep, he would put a mark in their ear. When he got his new sheep, you have to put a mark in their ear to say they belong to me, to Shepherd XYZ. What Jesus does, he gives you a mark and says, you belong to me. It's a mark that stands you out compared to everybody else. You belong to me, he says. You get this unique and special relationship with the Creator of the world. And so for us who submit to Christ and say, the Lord, he is my shepherd, and I proudly say that I am a sheep of Jesus, I proudly say it, we bear a mark. And the mark that we bear is the cross. We should bear the mark of the cross. That is what we're told in Scripture, that we should take up our cross daily and follow him. The mark that we have on us that says we belong to Jesus is that we would carry our own cross and follow him. What does that mean? Some of you might say, well, that doesn't mean to literally physically die. What it means is to die to yourself. The call is, as the sheep of the Good Shepherd, is to die to yourself. Die to your own running off and getting lost. Die to your own running off and getting yourselves in tangles. Die to your own fickle and temporary life. Come under the care of the Good Shepherd and join an exciting adventure that can only be found in him. That is what the call is for those who are. That is the mark that we have if we are with Jesus. And you know, tragically, a lot of people say the Lord is my shepherd with their mouth, but that they carry on living their fickle temporary life. But we can't have it both ways. We're under the care of Jesus, or we're not. Jesus himself says when he comes again, many people will come to me, say, look what I did in your name. And he'll say, but I never knew you as my sheep. And that's a sobering thought, you know, about works. And works not getting you to heaven. It's relationship with Jesus that will get people to heaven. I don't want to get to see Jesus and say, him to say to me, I never knew you as my sheep. I want to be marked by the shepherd. And I want to take up my cross daily to follow him. And it's a sobering reflection for all of us that we should ask these questions. And I'm going to leave it here really, but these questions. Do I really belong to him today? Do I really belong to him today? Do I recognize his right of ownership to me? That's a big one, that word ownership, because there's negative connotations about ownership, isn't there? In human relationship. That's wrong in human relationship. But this is fine in the shepherd and sheep relationship. Do you recognize his ownership of you? Do you respond to his authority and acknowledge his ownership? Do you respond to that? And this one, do you find freedom and liberty and complete fulfillment in that relationship, in that arrangement with the shepherd? Because the relationship of shepherd and sheep was meant to be liberating and freeing. If you come to Jesus and you feel like it's a book of rules and it's all just rules dampening my life, ruining my fun, no, Jesus wants you to be fulfilled and set free. So maybe if you're feeling trapped, maybe you haven't met the real Jesus yet. Because Jesus says, I will set you free. And it will be liberating. Come under my care and you will be free. Hallelujah. I just want to end in this poem. And I thought this was great. It's a prayer. But it's a poem, prayer, whatever. But it comes from, it's called He Reminded Us of You. And I think that this is what I think about when I read Psalm 23. He reminded us of you. You are a great God. Your character is holy. Your truth is absolute. Your strength is unending. Your discipline is fair. Your provisions are abundant for our needs. Your light is adequate for our path. Your grace is sufficient for our sins. You are never early, never late. You sent your Son in the fullness of time, and you will return at the consummation of time. Your plan is perfect, bewildering, puzzling, troubling, but perfect. The Lord, He is my shepherd. Amen. Amen. Maybe we can just stand. And just as we frame that series on the Lord is our shepherd, you know, everything in our Christian life begins with the declaration that the Lord is my shepherd. That is the beginning of Psalm 23, but that's the beginning of our life with Jesus, coming under His authority and care as the shepherd. So I don't know about you, I don't know where you are in your walk right now, or if you know Jesus or not, but Jesus is inviting you today to come under His care, to come under His shepherd care. He can be trusted as your shepherd. We've seen He created you, He loves you, He calls you, He died for you, He has a plan for you. So wherever you are right now, if you don't know Jesus, then I would just say to follow me in this simple prayer, which says, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I've gone my own way. I recognize that I've lived for myself and I've rejected you. But today I want to come under your shepherd care. Today I want to acknowledge you as my Savior. I want to acknowledge that you died for me, you paid the price for me so that I could have life. Life abundant today and life in heaven forever. So Lord, I repent of my wrong. I turn back from my wrong ways and I come into your shepherd care, into your family today. In Jesus' name, amen. And if anyone was praying that prayer, come and see me afterwards and I'll talk to you. If anyone really from their heart meant that. And then if you're in here and you've had a relationship with God for a long time, but you feel like you haven't got that right shepherd sheep relationship, it's not freeing to you, it's not liberating to you, it feels like a struggle to call Him my shepherd, I just urge you right now in these moments as we sing to just lay that at His feet. He says, all who are weary and heavy laden, come to Him and He will give you rest. So lay your burdens down at His feet today. Let Him carry them. You don't need to carry them. He'll carry them for you. He's paid the price for you already. So come back into that freeing and liberating relationship with the shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.